Hello, my name is Julio Feliciano Jr., and I'm so happy to announce that CSIM will be presenting its first unique brand of podcast series. This series is focused on enriching you with wisdom, life skills, revelatory understanding of the Bible, diverse perspective, and simply be a blessing to humanity. Christ-centered international ministry vision is to bring a clear revelation of who we are in Christ Jesus through training, teaching, preaching, and manifesting the kingdom of God with signs, wonders, and miracles. Our goal is to expand the kingdom of God by revealing the love of the Father, and our purpose is to equip churches, government, businesses, leaders, and individuals to live out the reality of a Jesus-centered life in society. I pray that as we continue with our first class today, how to study the Bible, you would truly be enriched and blessed. God bless you. One of the first things we must understand if we're going to have an effective relationship with God is that we must have a relationship that's based out of the Bible. The Word of God says it this way: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It's letting us understand that God, in essence, is one with His Word. We know it, later on it says, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Beautiful, speaking of our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. And it's so awesome how we can understand that the Bible teaches us so many beautiful truths about Jesus, and knowing that we were created in His image, in order to understand who we are effectively, we must understand who God is. And when we understand who God is, we get to understand who we are, who were created in His image. So the Bible is a very important book. It's the most important manuscript. It's the best teaching tool you will have. So I want to encourage you, as we delve into the Word of God today, I really want you to get your Bible app ready, your Bible, get your Macs, get your Android, whatever PC you may have, and let's delve deep into the Word so we can have a great understanding. In 2 Peter chapter 1, in verse 20 and 21, says this: knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Man, this is a beautiful scripture. It has treasures and beautiful treasures of wonderful truth. And let's start breaking it down. It says, knowing this first, I like this. It says, you must know this first in order to understand that prophecy came not in the old times by the will of man. It did not come by man's imagination, but it came by holy men of God who were moved by the Holy Ghost. And in order for you to understand, you must know this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. In order for you to know that the will of God for your life, you must first know this. Look how Peter is saying. You must first know that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, what does that mean, no prophecy Scriptures of any private interpretation? Well, let's break it down to where a seven-year-old can understand. Let's replace some of these words, prophecy, Scripture, private interpretation, to a word that's more commonly used, or by a better definition where we can understand it. The first word, let's break down prophecy. Prophecy in the book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 8 says this: the lion has roared, who can but fear? The Lord God has spoken, who can but prophesy? My God, it says the lion has roared, who can but be afraid when you hear the lion roar? The Lord God has spoken. Man, who can but speak His word? So we see here that when God speaks, man prophesies. So what is the best definition for the prophecy, for the word prophecy? Is it foretelling? Is it forthtelling? Praise God, all of that works. But what is teaching here, the best definition is the Word of God. The Word of God can be future tense, it can be present tense, it can even be the past tense. When man speaks God's word, He is prophesying. This is such a beautiful truth here that we must understand that that's why a prophet will always prefix his words with, thus says the Lord, and then delivers the message that God gave him. And then said, prophecy, which is the word of God. Scripture means written, private means by itself, interpretation means meaning. So if we take these words, prophecy meaning word of God, Scripture means meaning, written, private means by itself, interpretation means meaning, the Scripture will read this way: knowing this first, that none of the written word of God is by itself for its meaning. Isn't that so much easier to understand? What the scripture is basically saying, this scripture is saying that none of the written word of God that we have before us here is by itself for its meaning. What is this teacher, scripture teaching? That scripture must interpret scriptures. Now, how do we get this? How do we know this is true? Well, we must use the mathematics. Let's go throughout the scriptures to see other scriptures complementing and marrying the scripture by being one and saying the same thing. 2 Timothy 2:15 says this, study to show yourself approved to God. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. We hear that again. In order to study to show yourself and be approved unto God, we must do what? Rightly divide the word of truth. There it goes. We see where scriptures interpret scriptures. If you want to understand the written word of God, you must rightly divide it. Let's go to the Old Testament. Isaiah 28, verse 9 and 10. 9 basically says, who can understand teaching? Who can know doctrine? And then it goes on to say in verse 10, for precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. Precept basically is a law, is a command. So it's saying this law should be upon this law in order to understand doctrine and teaching. You must get this line and put it upon this line, and you must take it from here a little and take it from there a little, and there you get an understanding of the whole truth. Man, this is just so beautiful. Understanding what the Bible is teaching. You see here the Bible, as one of my Bible teachers used to tell me, the Bible, the scriptures are its own encyclopedia. Man, that's a powerful truth. The scriptures are its own encyclopedia. If you want to know anything that the Bible is saying, ask the scriptures. Amen. And one last in the New Testament where I really love this, we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And it says this, I'll start in verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Listen to it right there. It says it's so beautiful. Which things also we speak, not in words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. We know that the word of God is God breathed. And why we say, Isaiah 55, as we go into verse 8, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. What is this saying here? God's mind is infinitely higher than ours. There's no way we can understand his words because it was Holy Ghost breathed, inspired. When men of God spoke it, when woman of God was moved by the Spirit of God, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit was the one that inspired it. And if we want to understand the mind of God, we must have the same Holy Spirit to understand it. Such a beautiful truth. Now let's use the mathematics in another way. The Bible says in John, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. This scripture can have so many interpretations. I remember asking somebody, what does he believe that thinks this is saying? And he told me, well, I believe if you always speak the truth, you will always be in the truth. You will always live a life of freedom. You will not be bounded by guiltiness. I said, well, okay, let me give you an illustration. Let's say you rob a bank. You got away clean, no one knows, and you're free. But yet, man, as a couple of days begin to go by, you're beginning to feel guilty because you knew you did something wrong. Yet you heard somebody say, hey, speak the truth, and you will be set free. So what do? You go look for a friend, someone you know you can depend on, someone you know who has your back, and you go to him and tell him, listen, I got to tell you something, but I really need you to just listen, and I need you to promise me that you will not tell nobody. The man said, don't worry about it. I got your back, Sean. I got your back. What is it you want me to tell you? What is it you want me to hear? Promise me you're not going to tell. I, you know what? I'm not going to tell nobody. Okay. So you go ahead and tell them, listen, I did this, I did that, and I did this. Wow, I feel better. Can you promise me you won't tell nobody? Man, I promise I won't tell nobody. You're crazy you did that. And you guys talk a little more, then you go your separate way. And guess what? You go home feeling a little better because somebody else knows, not all in you. But what happens? Later on, your friend at night is watching the news and he sees that there's a $100,000 reward for who knows information about who robbed that bank. Guess what? You're going to jail. And now you may find yourself not only in a physical, literal prison and you're not free, but now you're in a deeper mental state of bondage where you're saying, man, only if I just kept my mouth shut. So we see here that this scripture cannot be talking about just telling the truth, because if this scripture was based on just telling the truth, not to say you can't tell the truth and you're not supposed to tell the truth, but what I'm trying to show you that the scripture is not based on that, because it would be true every way you put it. There can be no holes in it. It will be no loopholes. You can't poke holes in it. So what is the scripture saying? Well, it's youth and mathematics. Scripture must interpret scriptures. God, the Bible says you would know the truth and the truth will set you free. So we have to understand there is a truth that we would know. And when we know this truth, it will set us free. First, we got to find out what truth can we know and set us free. Well, the Bible says it this way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come unto the Father but by me. Now, is Jesus the truth that we can get to know and will set us free? Because if we look at the Bible, Paul tells Timothy that there is a truth that you can learn. It says it this way, ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. This gives me the understanding is that there is a way that you can learn of a subject, but never come and grasp the knowledge or come to an intimate understanding of what that truth is speaking. But Jesus says here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can go to the Father but by me. Now, our question is Jesus this truth that we can get to know and that'll set us free? Because there seems to be a possible way to know of the truth and not be set free. But is Jesus the truth that we can know and that'll set us free? Well, let's ask another scripture. Let's go to Romans chapter 8, verse 2. It says, for the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. Let's read that again. For the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. What this scripture is saying is that there is a law that captivates us and binds us, but there is the Spirit of life that sets us free. And that law is sin and death, and that life is Jesus Christ. Praise God. So we see here very plainly is that there is a truth that we can get to know, and once we know it, it'll set us free from the law of sin and death. And basically, the Bible interprets itself by letting us know that Jesus is the truth, that there is a life in Jesus that delivers us, that sets us free from all bondages of sin and death. Thank you for listening. I hope you had a good time and was able to receive and enjoy the teaching. Tune in next week for part two of how to effectively study the Bible. This is PJ from CSIM signing off. Till next time, love you and believe in you.